Amen. Today I want to share a message out of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Now, as you're finding your way to that Old Testament passage, let me just mention, as far as the Lord's Supper today, the way that we practice that and carry that out is that when the time is right, we'll form a line or two lines down the middle aisle, and Josh, our worship pastor, will be on one side and I'll be on the other, and you can come to either side that you want to. And as you take the bread, which is a piece of cracker, you'll receive the blessing, the body of Christ broken for you. And then there will be a cup of grape juice there, and you can take that, and you'll receive the blessing. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. And as you do, you can either take that back to your seat and take it there, or you can take it right here in the front, or you can come off to the side here. Some folks do that just for a quiet time of communion with the Lord. Or maybe you might want to sit in one of the pews off to the side and just have a quiet moment with the Lord. They call it communion, and I'm sure there's a better reason than what I'm about to say, but communion for me is just communing with the Lord. It's just a moment where I feel like I am kind of at one with the Lord Jesus, and He's with me. And when I eat the cracker and drink the juice, it's like it's a sacred moment with the Lord. And some churches will call it a sacrament. And I play around with that word a little bit. And so to me, it's a sacred moment with Jesus. And it makes it very special. And so I pray that today, as we take of the Lord's Supper, that it'll be a special time between you and the Lord Jesus. This is a time for those who have given their life to Jesus and have accepted Him as Lord and Savior to come and commune with the Lord. When I was a child, I took of the Lord's Supper before I had ever accepted Him publicly as my Lord and Savior. I felt like I was doing something in church on that Sunday when I was a small child. I was doing something illegal. And somebody was going to come and get on to me and tell me, no, you're not supposed to take that. But as it passed by me, which is how they used to do it, they would serve it and it would go by you, and you would take of the cracker and the cup that way. And so on that Sunday, I took it and I ate it and I drank it, and it was special enough and memorable enough that I still remember it. And it was as if, as a child, my childlike faith kind of came alive, and I wanted more of the Lord. And maybe even in that moment with Jesus, it was something that put me on a particular path. And so what I want to tell you is that it's intended for those that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. But this is the Lord's table. And the Lord invites all kinds of people to His table. And so today you might feel the Lord's invitation, even though you may not have accepted Christ. You might feel and hear the Lord's invitation to you to come and to take. And if you do that, I want you to know that the Lord offers to you His love and His grace and His forgiveness. And this day, might it be a day of salvation for you, where you would commit your life to Him as your Lord and as your Savior. A way that I've understood that those terms to really describe Jesus as Lord is that he becomes my leader, and I follow Him with my life. That's what Lord means. It means that Jesus becomes the leader of your life, and you devote your life to following Him with everything that you are. But Lord and Savior, Savior refers to Jesus taking our place on the cross and dying for us. And in His death and in His shed blood, our sins are forgiven, and there's remission for our sins because of the shed blood of Jesus on that old rugged cross. And but a way to understand Savior in a little bit more of a modern way, is forgiver. Jesus is your leader, and he's also your forgiver. He forgives you of your sins. And that's a daily need for me. I don't know about you. I need to know Jesus that way every day, as my leader, the one in front of me that I follow, but also as my forgiver, the one that loves me and forgives me of my sins. And so today, as we receive the Lord's Supper at the end of our service, I pray that we'll experience Jesus Christ in a very real and personal way. And that even today, if you've never accepted him as your leader and as your forgiver, that this would be the day that you accept him into your life and start 2024 off the best way, with a close and personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the passage today in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11, but in my remarks, I'm also going to refer back to verses 1 through 3. And so let's follow along. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow along. If you want to use your smartphone or device to interact with the scripture, that's a wonderful way to do it. If you just want to allow the words to be heard and to kind of wash over you and to speak to your heart that way, I just pray that we hear the word of the Lord in reverence and that we tune our hearts to the word of the Lord today. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them, all who see my people, will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, may your word be like it talks about in verse 11. May it be like a seed that grows down into our hearts, and that it comes up and bears much fruit in our lives. Might we attune our lives and align our lives more and more, increasingly, with the truth and the grace of your word. May it come alive in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said earlier today, I want this Sunday to be a Sunday to pause, a Sunday for us to reflect. Sometimes I come in here on a Sunday and I've got a message that I want to preach. I've got a word that I want to speak. But today, I want to allow it to be a time to just rest and pause. So that today doesn't necessarily need to be a day of great traction, but it can be a day where we pause and reflect on what God has done in our lives and on what God wants to do in our lives and what the Lord is saying to us right now. Today is a Sunday to pause and to reflect. Your reflecting might happen in this hour, right where you're sitting today in this room. And that reflection might continue on beyond this room and this hour. And you might find yourself this afternoon, maybe sitting alone or maybe out, maybe even walking in the woods. That's always a place where I've been able to commune with the Lord, out in nature somewhere. Maybe this evening before you lay your head down to go to bed. There'll be a moment where you reflect on what God has done and what God is about to do in your life. This is the day to pause and reflect. The Lord has brought us through this year, and he has led us to follow him on a journey. Now, that journey for us here at Robertsville, I'm convinced more and more, is a journey of being a new planting of the Lord. And that's what this passage talks about. It talks about how good things happen when the Lord is doing a kind of planting. Or for us, the terminology that we've been using at Robertsville is that the Lord has come along and he is replanting us. And for Robertsville, and what I've tried to encourage us, is that what that means for us is that it has reordered our spiritual priorities. As a church, we were coasting along very nicely. We could take care of business here very responsibly. Matter of fact, we did not even need the Lord here to do church. We could handle it ourselves. Thank you, Lord. But we've got it under control. And so what replanting did is it kind of shook us up a little bit and said, no, there's something that only the Lord can do in the midst of and through his people. And so we began to think about new priorities for us. Glorifying God in everything is our first priority. Number two, the importance of making disciples and taking seriously this commission of Christ to us, that as we go out into all the world, to all peoples, that we are making disciples of Jesus. And then the third priority is that we get out of the four walls of this church, as beautiful as they are, that we get out of the four walls of this church and out into the community that surrounds us to sow the gospel. And that happens best. The gospel is sowed best, person to person to person to person, friend to friend to friend. The gospel is meant to travel person to person to person. It's about people. And in our passage today, I think that that is some of what God is saying. It's about people. The Lord says, I care about, I love, and I am for people. So the Lord is doing a work of replanting, a new planting of us. Praise the Lord. And these words of Isaiah 61 speak to me because they portray a God who is working to cause. To cause. A God who is working to cause things to happen. A God who is working to cause something to become that isn't, hasn't been. But God is doing a new thing. And that's what I see in this passage. And it has spoken to me in this way. It portrays God who is wanting to cause things to happen. God is not just somebody that passively sits around and, you know, has gotten the plate spinning and he just sits back and watches it. No, man. God is active, and he wants to cause things to happen in your life and in my life and in his church. Things that haven't happened before, things that haven't existed before. God causes things to come to be. In verse 8, the Lord says, I love justice. I love justice. And we would say amen to that. But listen, let's not separate the cause, which is the cause of justice, from the people. God loves justice, but what God really loves is when people experience justice. It's when people have things that come to them that are just. God loves for people to experience justice, his justice. So let's not separate the cause from the people. Earlier in chapter 61, in verses 1 through 3, hear these words that attaches what God causes with people that God loves. And I want to say this. I believe that God loves all people. All people. There are not people that are specially chosen for God's love and for God's favor. I'm audacious enough to believe that even though you don't see it, even though you don't feel it, even though you might think that God can certainly not be for me, because preacher, do you know what has happened in my life? How is it that you can tell me that God is for me when I have all this wreckage to show for it? If that's what God's love looks like, I don't need it. I'm audacious enough, though, to tell you that God does not have special people that he blesses and everybody else that he ignores. I want to tell you, I believe that God loves everybody. And God's goodness and God's blessings, it's his heart to extend that to all peoples. In chapter 61, in the first three verses, hear these words that attaches what God causes to people that God loves. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. There the Lord goes again, planting. He just has a way of doing that kind of work to cause some good things to happen. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I love it when the prophet says that, the prophet Isaiah says that, that the work that God does in us is for his glory. What God causes is for people. In other words, when God makes something come about, he's doing it for the blessing of people. It involved the ancient people that this book was written to. It's what these ancient people were longing for and looking for and working for, the good news of poor people and brokenhearted people and imprisoned people, for people blinded by darkness. And it's also a word for contemporary people like you and me who are still longing for that and looking for that and working for that same good news, that brokenhearted people would be mended, that imprisoned people would find freedom, that people blinded by darkness would see the light of Christ, that poor people would hear good news. Verse 8 tells us that the Lord loves justice. He loves justice for people. And that he hates what? What does he hate? Robbers and wrongdoers? No. The Lord doesn't hate robbers and wrongdoers. The Lord hates robbery and wrongdoing. I have to tell you, I hate robbery too. Someone taking something of mine that doesn't belong to them. And if I were honest, I would have to say that most of the time I hate robbers. I hate robbery and I hate robbers. But the Lord separates the sinner from the sin, and he wants me to do the same thing. He saves the sinner, and he destroys the sin, thank God. What does the Lord cause to happen? He causes justice to happen. Verse 9 tells us that the Lord's people will be recognized as a blessed people. Why is that? Well, because they're chosen not to be his favorites, no, but they will be seen as blessed because they love who the Lord loves, and they hate what the Lord hates. They love who the Lord loves, and they hate what the Lord hates. Don't get those mixed up. Sometimes we can get them mixed up. And we say that the Lord will bless me if I hate those who do wrong. And actually, the Lord blesses us, and we are seen as blessed because we love who the Lord loves, and we hate what the Lord hates. The blessed people of God recognize that what the Lord causes to happen is always for the blessing of people. Verse 3 of chapter 61 that I read earlier says the Lord is for people in this kind of way. The Lord gives to people beauty for ashes. That's one way that the Lord is for people. in the place of the ashes of a life that feels like it's burned down to nothing but ashes, the Lord is able to come in and do a work of giving beauty in place of those ashes. Not just that, but the prophet says that the Lord is for people because he gives joy in place of mourning. And when I say mourning, that's not the early morning hour of the new day. No, it's those that mourn, those that weep, those that grieve, those that have lost. The Lord gives joy in place of grieving and in place of mourning. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't mourn and grieve. There's a proper time and place for that. But sometimes we get stuck in that place, in that dark place of grieving and mourning. But when the Lord is for people, what he is able to do is that in his time, he gives joy in place of mourning. I can't tell you how that happens or when that happens, because that's the Lord's work. But he does it. I've seen it happen in people's lives. He gives a praising heart in place of a heavy heart, a heart that's able to be released from heaviness so that that heart can praise the Lord. And sometimes the heaviness on us keeps us kind of like under like a weight or a burden, and we're not even able to raise up and praise the Lord. And what the Lord is saying is that when he is working for people to cause good things to happen in them, that what he's able to do is replace that heaviness and remove it so that we can then begin to praise him. The Lord is for us, and he gives a praising heart in place of heaviness. The Lord is for us, and he grows people into mighty oaks of righteousness. You might say, Pastor, to be honest with you, I don't feel like a mighty oak of righteousness. I feel like a thorn bush of sinfulness, you know, or something like that. I don't know. But see, when the Lord is working to cause things to happen, then he is working in us to bring about some things out of us. And he grows us into people that are described as oaks of righteousness. Right, in our way, in our wisdom, in our strength, yeah, we can become like a thorn bush of sinfulness. But with God working in us and for us, he works in us to grow us up to become mighty oaks of righteousness that give him glory and splendor. These are some ways that the Lord is for people. Let me press on here. Because the Lord causes good things, verse 10 describes our response. It says, I delight gratefully, and then my soul rejoices in my God. I want to tell you there's a little bit of repetition there, but there's also a little bit of distinction. I delight greatly. It talks about our delight in God, our joy in the Lord is so intense that it cannot remain inside of us. So that this idea of delighting greatly in the Lord means that there is outward expression to our joy, that we have joy for the Lord and what the Lord is doing in us, that we cannot keep it inside, but it just kind of comes out of us, and there's outward joy that is expressed. There is outward delight that is expressed. But there's also an inner kind of joy where our soul rejoices, down deep inside where nobody can see. There is a rejoicing of my soul in my God. The language here is of beauty and joy. It's a garment of salvation, a robe of righteousness. Think about the beauty and the joy of a wedding day where the bride is as beautiful and the groom is as handsome as maybe they'll ever be or as they've ever been. They are dressed for joy. This is what the Lord causes. He causes beauty and joy. And in him, we delight. We delight. Verse 11, it describes how God causes growth. Just like the soil causes the sprout to come up and the garden causes the seed to grow. These words captured my heart's desire for this next year for us. To see new growth. For Isaiah, the new growth is expressed as righteousness and as praise. And those aren't bad things for God to cause to grow among us, for sure. But what about us? As we pause and reflect today, It's because the Lord causes good things to grow up that we delight and rejoice in Him. God may be doing a new thing in you today, and you know it. It just kind of came out of nowhere. It's just like the Lord turned on a light bulb in you, and you began to have a yearning in your heart, a desire in your heart for Him. Maybe it was something that was renewed in you, or maybe it is something that is new in you. The Lord is doing that work. He's causing these things to grow up. He's causing us to delight in Him and to rejoice in Him. So I have some questions I want to pose as I wrap it up this morning. First is, as we reflect back on this past year, what good growth has God brought about in us this past year, or maybe in our church this past year? Something might come to you just like that. You don't have to think about it much. And for others, you might say, well, Pastor, I need to think about that a little bit. Well, do that. Think about the good growth that God has brought about, because He is causing something new to happen and to grow. On the other side of today is a new year. Isaiah says that the Lord causes good things like praise and righteousness to spring up. What good things, church, might the Lord cause to grow and rise up in your life? What good things might the Lord cause to rise up in our church in this new year? You might be able to answer that question just like that. You might say, Pastor, I've already been praying about it, and the Lord's already laid something on my heart of what I really want to see Him do in my life and in our church this next year. Some of you might say, Pastor, I need to think about that a little bit. I need to pray about that a little bit. And I'd encourage you to. Lord, show me what it is that You want to do in this year ahead. How is it that You want to plant some things in me to cause some new things to grow up out of me? That, Lord, You know me, and You know in my power and in my strength, You know where I'm going to end up. But, Lord, You be doing a work in me and cause some things to happen in me that will cause my life to grow up. You growing me up, Lord, into something that would be described more like an oak of righteousness. That's Your work, Lord, not my work. I can't grow myself up into an oak of righteousness. But the Lord can do some work in me to begin to fashion me in that way. And so how is it that the Lord might want to do some new things in your life and in my life and in our church and even beyond our church, in our community? Don't you think the Lord has some things that He wants to cause to happen in our community? That's why I think replanting, it does something else for us. Not only does it reorder our priorities, but it reconnects us to our community. So that we cannot dwell here inside this building and not have a heart that burns for the people that live around us with love and with compassion and grace and favor in the same way that the Lord approaches them. So these are a couple of questions that I hope you'll take some time to pause and reflect on today. What has God done this past year? What are the good things that God has caused to happen this past year? But more than that, Lord, what do You want to cause to happen and to grow in my life and in my church in this year ahead? Pause today and reflect on those two questions and see how the Lord will speak to you. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this day and for this time together. Lord, I pray that as we commune with You just now, that You will meet with us and that You'll speak to us. Minister to us and care for us, Lord, out of Your great, great love for each one. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.